Welcome to another deep dive, everybody. This time, we're going deep into the world of digital competence.
Ooh, that sounds intriguing.
It is, right? And get this, we're taking our cues from the EU, believe it or not.
The EU, really?
Yeah. They released this report. It's called DigComp 2.2, the Digital Competence Framework for Citizens.
DigComp 2.2.
DigComp 2.2.
Okay.
And they're trying to, well, they lay out what it means to be digitally competent in today's world.
I like it. Cutting edge stuff.
It really is, especially with all this AI stuff happening.
Right. AI is changing everything.
Exactly. So we're going to break it all down, give you some actionable insights, you know, things you can actually use. And maybe we'll even uncover a few surprises along the way.
Oh, I love surprises.
So do I. So one of the most interesting things about this report is that it goes beyond just, you know, the tech skills.
Like knowing how to use a computer.
Right. It emphasizes knowledge and having the right attitude, too.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's like having a mental toolkit, not just a physical one.
Exactly. You got it. So let's crack open that toolkit and see what's inside. The report lays out five key areas, and the first one is, drumroll please, information and data literacy.
Okay, information and data literacy. That sounds pretty straightforward. Like, you know, being able to find information online.
It's more than just finding it. Think of it as like honing your digital detective skills.
Ooh, I like that.
You got to evaluate what you find, figure out if it's credible, especially with all the you know, talking about all those infodemics going around.
Infodemics? What are those?
Oh, it's a fancy way of saying a flood of bad information.
Oh, like fake news and all that.
Exactly. Remember that whole thing about, gosh, what was it? You know, that insert timely and relevant example of misinformation, like a false cure that spread online that was going around. It's like a tidal wave of, well, questionable information.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I almost fell for it myself.
See, it's everywhere. And that's why this information and data literacy is so important. You got to be able to sift through it all.
So we're talking critical thinking, fact checking, all that good stuff.
You got it. Okay, what's next in our digital toolkit?
Let's see. Oh, this one's a biggie. Communication and collaboration.
Uh-oh, that sounds like a minefield.
Oh, it can be, especially online.
It's like every other week there's a new rule I'm supposed to know.
Right. And here's the kicker. We're not just communicating with other humans anymore.
Oh, you mean like AI?
Exactly. Chatbots, you know, all that. So this area is all about understanding how to communicate effectively in all these different digital environments.
Including the ones with AI. Man, that's a lot to keep up with.
It is. But that's the digital world for you. All right, what's the next tool?
Ooh, this one's fun. Digital content creation.
It sounds exciting. Like making videos and stuff.
That's part of it, yeah. But it's also about being responsible, you know, understanding copyright and how to use those open licenses and all that.
Oh, right. So you're not like accidentally stealing someone's work.
Exactly. Plus, think about it. If you know how to create digital content, you're probably better at spotting fakes, you know, like those deep fakes.
Oh, that's true. I never thought about it that way. I guess that all ties back to that whole information and data literacy thing we talked about earlier, huh?
It all connects. All right. Next up is a big one. Safety. Online safety.
Oh, that's super important. I've had some scary stories about, like, cyberbullying and stuff.
It's definitely a real concern. They talk about that in the report, but also about, have you ever heard of the online disinhibition effect?
The what effect?
The online disinhibition effect. It's this thing where people tend to be more, well, bolder online. They say things they wouldn't say in person.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kind of like hiding behind a screen.
Exactly. Anonymity and all that. It can definitely bring out different sides of people.
Definitely. Okay, so we've got four tools in our kit. What's the last one?
The fifth and final area is problem solving. It's about being resourceful, using technology to find solutions.
Like when your computer crashes and you have to figure out how to fix it.
That's one example. But it's also about, you know, thinking outside the box, using an app in a new way to solve a problem.
So it's not just about knowing how to use a specific app. It's about that problem-solving mindset.
Exactly. Being adaptable, willing to experiment. You know, technology is always evolving.
So true. All right. So we've got this five-part framework. But you said earlier it goes beyond just skills, right?
Right. They really emphasize that each area has these different components. Like there's the skill itself, but also the knowledge and the attitude that goes with it.
Okay. Break that down for me.
Okay. So let's take information and data literacy. It's not just about knowing how to Google something. It's also about understanding how things like AI are shaping the information you're seeing. Like, ever heard of filter bubbles?
Oh, yeah, those are creepy.
They can be, and that's part of the knowledge piece, being aware of those things. You're not just passively taking in information, you're actively engaging with it.
I like that. So what about the attitude part?
Well, the report talks about things like being open to changing how you do things, like being willing to use digital public services, even if it means learning a new system.
Oh, okay. So like embracing those changes instead of resisting them.
Right. And then there's stuff about, you know, questioning the ethics of AI in decision making. It's like having that critical lens on.
So it's not just about using technology. It's about thinking critically about it, too.
You got it. And that's essential in today's digital world. But okay, so we've got this framework. How does it actually play out in real life? You know, how would someone use these skills and knowledge and attitudes?
Great question. The report actually has this whole section called Dimension 5 Use Cases.
Dimension 5. Sounds intense.
It's actually pretty cool. They take those five areas and show how they apply to everyday situations. Like, think about looking for a job or working on a group project or even just, you know, trying to learn something new online.
So it's taking this abstract framework and making it practical.
Exactly. And they also talk about different levels of proficiency within each area. So, like, let's say you're looking for a job. At a basic level, you might need some help figuring out how to even use your phone to find job postings online.
Okay.
But at a higher level, you might be managing all your applications online, building your own website, you know, all that jazz.
So it's recognizing that digital competence is a journey, not a destination.
You got it. It's constantly evolving, which is why the report's focus on, you know, things like AI and remote work is so important.
Okay, let's dig into those. Let's start with AI. What kind of knowledge and skills do we need to interact with AI effectively?
Well, the report talks about recognizing how AI is influencing things. Like understanding how it shapes your search results, or even realizing that what you're reading might be AI generated.
So being aware of how AI is woven into our digital lives.
Exactly. And it's also about understanding, you know, that AI has limitations.
Mm-mm.
Being able to critically evaluate the information it gives you.
And I imagine it's also about, you know, asking those bigger questions, like how is AI impacting society? What are the ethical implications?
All those big questions.
Mm-hmm.
Spot on. Now, what about remote work? It feels like that's become the norm for a lot of people.
It has, hasn't it?
So the report talks about the importance of good asynchronous communication.
Asynchronous.
You know, like email, messaging apps, those project management tools. You got to be good at using those to collaborate effectively when you're not all in the same room.
And there's that social element too, right? Like maintaining relationships when you're working remotely.
Right. They emphasize using those digital tools to stay connected, to actually build relationships. You know, you're not just a name on a screen.
So whether it's AI or remote work or any other digital challenge, it seems like this framework has some really valuable guidance to offer.
It really does. It's like a roadmap for navigating this crazy digital world.
A roadmap. I like that. And one of the things that really struck me about this report is how it highlights the importance of accessibility.
Oh, yeah. Accessibility. We talk a lot about digital skills and knowledge, but accessibility often gets left behind.
It's like we assume everyone has the same access and abilities online, which just isn't true.
Right. And that's where this report really shines. It says that digital competence isn't just about, you know, individual empowerment. It's about creating a digital society that works for everyone.
Mm. Okay, so how does DigComp 2.2 approach this whole accessibility thing?
Well, they weave it into each of the five areas. Like in communication and collaboration, they talk about understanding accessibility requirements. So online communication is inclusive.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Imagine you're creating a presentation or even just a social media post. Being digitally competent means thinking about things like adding captions to videos.
Oh, right. So people who are deaf or hard of hearing can understand.
Exactly. Or using alt text for images so people using screen readers can access them.
Makes sense. What else?
Let's see. Choosing color combinations that are accessible to people with visual impairments.
Oh, that's a good one. It's all about recognizing that not everyone experiences the digital world in the same way.
And taking steps to make sure everyone can participate. It's about creating a truly inclusive online world.
I love that. Now, here's something that I thought was really interesting. They talk about how AI can both enhance and hinder accessibility. How does that work?
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you've got AI-powered technologies like voice assistants. Those can make things more accessible for people with mobility limitations.
Oh, right. Or for people who have difficulty seeing.
Exactly. But here's the catch. These technologies often prioritize, you know, the more widely spoken languages.
So people who speak less common languages might get left out.
It's a risk. And that's why it's so important to approach these technologies with, like, a critical eye. Think about the potential downsides as well as the benefits.
So it's back to that critical thinking, that awareness.
Exactly. And that's what DigComp 2.2 is all about, encouraging us to think about not just how to use technology, but how it's impacting society.
It's giving us the tools to be informed, engaged citizens in this digital age.
Good.
This report is jam-packed with information. It's clear the digital world is constantly changing. How do we keep up? Yeah. You know, how do we make sure our digital competence doesn't become, well, obsolete?
That's where lifelong learning comes in. The report actually suggests exploring all sorts of online learning opportunities, like video tutorials or those massive open online courses.
And the OOCs.
Yeah, MOOCs and online seminars. You know, there's so much out there.
It's funny. Every time I feel like I finally mastered some new tech, something else comes along and I'm back to square one.
Right. It's like a never-ending cycle.
It's this constant evolution. It can feel overwhelming sometimes.
It can be. That's why it's important to have that, you know, that mindset of continuous learning. It's not just about acquiring new skills. It's also about being honest with yourself about where you might have some gaps in your knowledge.
So it's kind of two sides of the same coin. Expanding our knowledge, but also recognizing our weaknesses.
Exactly. And that learning journey can be formal, like taking a class, but it can also be as simple as, you know, reading an article or trying out a new app.
Or even just asking someone for help when you're stuck.
Absolutely. It's all about being curious, being adaptable, and, you know, being willing to embrace those challenges.
So it sounds like a lot of this comes down to attitude and mindset as much as it does specific skills.
Completely agree. Digital competence isn't just for tech wizards. It's for everyone.
Well said. As we wrap up this part of our deep dive into DigComp 2.2, it's clear that this framework offers a ton of insights for navigating the digital world effectively, safely, and ethically.
And it encourages us to see digital competence as a journey, you know, one where we're constantly learning, adapting, and helping to create a more inclusive digital society.
So what does this all mean for you, dear listener? What resonates with you most from what we've discussed so far?
Do any of the five competence areas stand out? Or maybe the emphasis on, you know, knowledge and attitudes alongside skills?
We've covered a lot of ground, from those infodemics and the complexities of AI to navigating online communication and the importance of making digital spaces accessible to everyone.
It's been quite a ride through the key areas of digital competence. And what's really powerful is how it pushes us to think critically and ethically about how we interact with technology.
Absolutely. But before we wrap up completely, I want to leave you with a question to ponder. We talked about digital accessibility, but we didn't really dig into how you, our listener, can make sure your own online content and communication are inclusive.
That's a great question. It challenges us to think about the needs of others and how we can make the digital world a more welcoming place for everyone.
Exactly. So as you continue your own digital journey, keep that question in mind. How can you help make the digital world a better place for everyone?
And if you're interested in learning more, I highly recommend checking out the DigComp 2.2 report. It's full of great info.
It really is. You can also connect with the DigComp community of practice. It's a fantastic network of people who are passionate about digital competence.
It's a great place to share ideas and connect with others who are working to create a more digitally competent world.
So keep learning. Keep adapting and keep striving to make the digital world a better place for everyone.
Until next time, happy diving.
It really does. And you know what's so cool is that this report doesn't just focus on the individual. It really emphasizes the importance of digital accessibility.
Oh, absolutely. Accessibility is huge.
It is. And you know, it's funny, we talk so much about digital skills and all that, but accessibility often gets like left out of the conversation.
It's true. It's like we assume everyone has the same access to technology and the same abilities online.
Right. But that's just not the reality.
Not at all. And that's one of the things I appreciate about this DigComp report. It's not just about like you being the best digital user you can be.
It's bigger than that.
It is. It's about creating a digital society that's truly inclusive.
Okay, so how does this DigComp 2.2, how does it actually approach this whole accessibility thing?
Well, they've really woven accessibility considerations into all five of those competence areas we talked about.
Yeah, okay, I see.
Like, for example, in communication and collaboration, they talk about the need to understand accessibility requirements.
So that online communication is inclusive.
Exactly. Can you give me an example of, you know, how that might play out in real life?
Give me an example, sure. Okay, think about creating a presentation. like a PowerPoint or something.
Okay, all right.
Or even just a social media post. Being digitally competent means thinking about things like, you know, providing captions for any videos you include.
Oh, right. So people who are deaf or hard of hearing can follow along.
Exactly. Or using alt text for images.
Alt text? What's that?
It's basically a description of the image that people who are using screen readers can access.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they can understand what's in the image even if they can't see it.
You got it. And things like, you know, choosing color combinations that work for people with visual impairments.
That makes sense. There are some color combinations that are just hard for some people to see.
Exactly. It's all about recognizing that not everyone experiences the digital world in the same way, and then taking steps to make sure everyone can participate.
I like that. Creating a more inclusive online world.
Now, you know what I thought was really interesting?
What's that?
They talk about how AI can both enhance and hinder digital accessibility. It's like, how does it even work?
Right. It's kind of like this double-edged sword.
It is, right.
On the one hand, you have all these cool AI-powered technologies that can make things more accessible, like voice assistants, for instance.
Right, right. Those can be really helpful for people who have trouble using a keyboard or a mouse.
Or people with visual impairments. But here's the thing. A lot of these technologies, they tend to prioritize the more widely spoken languages.
Ah, so people who speak less common languages might be at a disadvantage.
Exactly. And that's just one example. There are a lot of ways that AI could inadvertently create barriers for certain groups of people.
So it's almost like we need to be extra careful with AI. You know, think about the potential downsides as well as all the exciting benefits.
Couldn't agree more. We need to approach it with a critical eye, make sure we're using it in a way that's truly beneficial for everyone.
And that kind of brings us back to, you know, that whole idea of digital competence being about more than just skills.
It's about awareness, critical thinking, being able to evaluate these technologies and their impact on society.
And being willing to speak up if we see something that's not right.
Exactly. Okay, so we've talked about how this framework can help us be more inclusive, more aware of the potential pitfalls of technology.
Yeah.
But the digital world is constantly changing, right?
It's like it changes every day. How do we keep up? How do we make sure our digital competence doesn't become like outdated?
That's a great question. And the report actually addresses that. They talk about the importance of lifelong learning, you know, continuously seeking out new information and skills.
So it's not just a one-time download. It's an ongoing process.
Exactly. They suggest things like checking out online learning opportunities, you know, like video tutorials, online seminars, or even those MOOCs, those massive open online courses.
MOOCs, those are still a thing.
Oh, yeah, they're still around.
Yeah.
And there are tons of them out there. You can learn pretty much anything online these days.
It's amazing. But it can also be, like, a little overwhelming, you know?
It can be. There's so much information out there. It's hard to know where to start sometimes. But I think the key is to just have that mindset of, you know, continuous learning.
Like, be open to learning new things.
Exactly. And also being honest with yourself about, you know, where you might need to brush up on your skills.
So it's about expanding our knowledge, but also recognizing our weaknesses and addressing those.
You got it. And that learning journey can be formal, like taking a class or getting a certification. But it can also be informal, you know?
Like what?
Like just reading an article about a new technology or trying out a new app or even just asking a friend for help when you're stuck.
It's all about being curious, being willing to experiment, you know?
Absolutely. And not being afraid to ask for help when you need it. Digital competence isn't about being perfect. It's about being open to learning and growing.
Well said. So it sounds like a lot of this comes down to, like, attitude and mindset, just as much as it does specific skills.
I completely agree. Digital competence isn't just for, like, tech geniuses. It's for everyone, no matter your age, your background, your level of experience.
It's about empowering everyone to participate in this digital world.
Exactly. And to do it safely, effectively, and ethically.
I love that. So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive into DigComp 2.2, it's clear that this framework offers a lot of valuable insights for, you know, navigating this digital world.
It really does. It encourages us to view digital competence as a journey, not a destination. And it reminds us that we're all in this together.
We are. So what does this all mean for you, dear listener? What's resonating with you from what we've discussed?
Do any of the five competence areas, do any of them really stand out to you? Or maybe it's the emphasis on, you know, knowledge and attitudes alongside skills.
Mm.
What are you taking away from this conversation?
We've covered a lot of ground. from infodemics and AI to online communication and accessibility. It's been a whirlwind tour of digital competence.
And I think one of the most powerful takeaways is that it really encourages us to think critically about our relationship with technology. You know, not just how to use it, but how it's impacting us and the world around us.
That's so important. But before we wrap up this part, I want to leave you, dear listener, with something to think about. We talked about digital accessibility.
We did.
But we didn't really dig into how you, our listener, can make sure that your own online content and communication is inclusive. You know, that you're not inadvertently creating barriers for others.
It's a challenge for all of us to think about how we can contribute to a more welcoming and inclusive digital environment.
Exactly. So as you continue your own digital journey, I encourage you to keep that question in mind. How can you make the digital world a little bit better for everyone?
And if you're looking for more information or resources, remember you can always check out that DigComp 2.2 report. It's full of great guidance and examples.
And don't forget about the DigComp community of practice. It's a fantastic network of people who are passionate about this stuff.
It's a great place to connect, share ideas, and get support on your own digital competence journey.
So keep exploring, keep learning, and keep striving to make the digital world a better place for everyone. We'll be back soon with more from our deep dive into DigComp 2.2. It's amazing to think how much this whole concept of digital competence has changed over the years.
Well, it's come a long way.
I remember back in the day, it was basically like knowing how to use a computer, send an email.
Yeah, if you could turn it on, you were golden.
Exactly. But now it's so much more than that. It's this whole like intricate web of skills and knowledge and even attitudes like we've been talking about.
It's almost a whole new way of thinking about how we live and work in this digital age, wouldn't you say?
I think so, definitely. And you know what's really exciting?
Yeah.
It's still evolving. I mean, new technologies are popping up all the time, and that's just going to keep shaping what it means to be digitally competent.
It's like a moving target.
It is, right.
Yeah.
So it's not just about learning a set of skills and then like you're good to go. It's this constant process of learning and adapting.
Lifelong learning, they call it.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so interesting, I think. There's always something new to discover.
Always a new challenge.
All right, so let's recap a bit. We've explored those five key areas of digital competence, from information literacy and communication to safety and problem solving.
We covered a lot of ground.
And we delved into those essential elements of knowledge and attitudes that, you know, underpin those skills.
It's not just about what you can do, it's about what you know and how you approach things.
Exactly. We also looked at how this framework can be applied in, you know, different situations, like searching for a job or navigating online learning platforms.
Right. Putting that knowledge into action.
And we even talked about the impact of those new technologies like AI and that whole shift towards remote work.
The world of work is definitely changing.
It is. And of course, we couldn't forget about digital accessibility and, you know, making sure everyone can participate.
Creating a more inclusive digital world. That's the goal.
It's been a really thought-provoking deep dive. I hope you, dear listener, have gotten some valuable insights along the way.
I hope so, too. There's a lot to unpack here.
There is. But before we say goodbye, I want to leave you with one final challenge.
Okay, I like challenges.
Think back to our conversation about digital accessibility. What steps can you take in your own online interactions to make sure you're contributing to a more inclusive and welcoming digital world for everyone? You know, what can you do to make sure you're not unintentionally leaving people out?
That's a really important question. It's a challenge for all of us to think about how we can make the digital world a better place.
It is. Every interaction we have, every piece of content we create, it's an opportunity to make a difference.
So choose wisely.
Well said. And remember, this deep dive is just the beginning. If you want to learn more, I highly encourage you to check out that full DigComp 2.2 report.
It's full of practical advice and examples. You won't regret it.
And if you're looking for a community of like-minded people, be sure to connect with the DigComp community of practice.
It's a great place to share ideas, get support, and really dive deep into this whole world of digital competence.
So keep exploring, keep learning, and keep striving to make the digital world a better place for everyone. That's all for this deep dive, folks. Until next time.
Happy diving.